But let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is done with accuracy. The clarity with precision, there is no confusion or contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark's Gospel 16. What series have we started?
Engaging the streets.
What series have we started? Engaging the streets. And what are we dealing with? Evangelism. How do we go about evangelizing? So go to Mark 16. Are you with your Bibles? Ensure you have a Bible you're looking into, right? And just follow through what we are going to teach this morning. So look at Mark 16. So look at Mark 16, verse 15. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, and in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with what? Nail tongues. They shall speak with what? Nail tongues. Right? Devils, they shall speak with what? Nail tongues. Now, if you look back at verse 16, I want our emphasis to be on verse 15 and 16. He says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, Jesus gave an instruction to who? His disciples. Is that right? So who was Jesus speaking to? His disciples. Right? Who are you to Jesus? His disciple. Right? So is every believer a disciple? Is every believer a disciple? So you are a disciple. I am a disciple. So if this instruction is to Jesus' disciples, right? Who is this instruction to? Say to me. You know, you say us. You know, us can be a figure of speech where you are not present in that conversation. Yeah, for instance, you know, if you are living with two people in a house and one person is stealing, right? And you know the person who is stealing, you can say, let us stop stealing. When you say, let us stop stealing, you are communicating to the person that is stealing. So when we say who are the disciples, don't just stay with us. Say me. Say I'm in that number. Right? So Jesus gave an instruction and says, go into the world and what? Preach the gospel. So who is the instruction of going to? Going into the world, who is that instruction to?
Me.
You, me, right? Beautiful, right? You know, that's what we call the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission, going into the world and preach the gospel. Right? And now, this instruction is something we must see as that which is given to every believer. Every single believer. As long as you are a believer, you have that instruction to go into the world. Now, every morning, that instruction to go needs to be re-echoed to you. You see, that word go is not, I will never be a past tense. As long as man is on earth, it will never be in the past tense. It is always a what? Present continuous tense. Right? It says, go ye into all the world and preach. And in our world today, a lot of people have come up with different conversations around this scripture. You know, growing up, I'm still growing up, I've heard of the doctrine of, I've heard about the three G's in the church. Three G's. When I tell you the G, maybe you will know. We have those that go. We have those that groan. Then we have those that give. How many of you have heard that doctrine before? Right? He said, in the local church, not everybody is called to go. Right? Some of us will be groaners. Some of us will be what?
Givers.
So we, the givers, will stay behind and be giving people water to drink as they are going or as they are praying. And that's an unfortunate thing. You see, in a local church, we ought not to have what you call evangelism units. You know how we have choir, we have media, we now say these are people that go for evangelism. That's wrong. If we have an evangelism unit, and the function of that unit is to see how to coordinate us when we go out for evangelism, that's different. But when we don't go for evangelism because we know, it's just like having prayer units in the church. Right? You know why some people who they are born, they say their ministry is to be praying for the church. So you just stay in the church, come every morning, and you just pray for the church, and that's their work. Then you now will not pray. Because somebody is what? Praying for you. They're giving your name to be what? For them to be praying for you. You know, and some of them as well say, some of us say that I'm not called to go for evangelism, but I'm called to what? I'm called into the, have you heard of apostle in the marketplace? You've heard about that, right? Yeah, I'm called into the marketplace. I'm called as an apostle into the marketplace. Right, so all these evangelism people are doing, I don't do it. Let me tell you something, everyone. And you are a successful human in every other area of your life, except for ministry, it is as good as you're not successful. I'll say it one more time. If you're a believer and you are successful in every other area of your life, promoted every year, right? Your family seems like everything is going fine. When it comes to ministry, you are not as effective and functional and fulfilling ministry as God's plan will be. You are termed a successful or successful. I mean, what name they will give you, I don't know. Now, in our world, it's easy for us to say evangelism is not for me. I don't know what to say. There's a man called Reverend Tom. I told you this example on Wednesday. Reverend Tom is an associate pastor to Pastor Chris Oyakhilome of Christ Embassy. And there's a video of his that was trending very recently. And he said something. He asked a question. He said, and I'm going to ask you the same question. He said, in the last 30 days, how many of you have somebody who has stopped them to preach the gospel to you before? Lift your hands. Let me go ask you. Lift your hands. In the last 30 days, so lift your hands well. In the last 30 days, somebody has stopped you to preach the gospel to you. One. This is like 25 people here. Two. Okay. In the last 60 days, how many of you have somebody who has stopped you to preach the gospel? One, two, number has increased. In the last 1 year, how many of you have somebody who has stopped you to preach the gospel? See the number. Do you know what that as much says? That the work that needs to be done on the street is not as much being done. So let me ask you another question. How many of you in the last 30 days have preached to somebody before? Hold on, don't do church evangelism. I'm not talking about church evangelism. I'm not saying, well, we came together for a group evangelism. No. That one is by force, they force you. When you go to group evangelism, that one, you know that you've come to church, you know, but nowhere to go to. If you stop someone to preach the gospel to, then the last 30 days, let me see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you stop someone to preach the gospel on your own accord in the last 60 days, let me see your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good, good, good. If you stop someone to preach the gospel in the last 1 year, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Now, why am I doing this? Do you see the top part of the question I'm asking? How many people should lift up their hands? Everybody here. Are we together? Now, why did I decide I would do this series this time of the year? What we're going to do is we're going to have the theoretical part of the evangelism as a doctrine, and also look at the practical part of it. What are the things we say, or how do we start a conversation? Some of us say, oh, Pastor, I don't know how to start conversation. Pastor, you know I'm a very shy person. Pastor, you know I'm very, very shy. I don't really know how to say, but God is helping us, all in all. And these same people are people that can coordinate their day. Yeah? If it's time to coordinate, you know, if you're in the classroom, for instance, a lecturer just says, I also want to become class rep. You're the first to lift up your hands. What come when it comes to evangelism? There's that mindset we have where we think that, oh no, you know. So in this series, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to look at what is evangelism and what evangelism is not. right? You know, some of us believe that my purpose in life is to be a doctor. Let me say it clearly to you, right? There is not a single person here whose purpose in life is to make money by God. Amen. Let me say it differently, in case I will not get to you. There is not a single person here who God predestinated to be a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, a carpenter, or a doctor, or a bricklayer, or a plumber. Not one. Your purpose in God can only be found by paying attention to what God is saying about your life. Together. So, you know, God does not say, this person, this my son, my daughter likes to collect wire. The purpose is engineering. You know, this my architect. Your purpose in life is that thing as a believer which God has called. Now, can you want to be a doctor? Oh, yes. Let me tell you for free. My undergrad is electrical engineering. Now, God did not call me to be an electrical electronics engineer. Are we together? Yeah? You know, we are products of influence. Right? Where we see, growing up, I saw lots of my relatives and uncles have a lot of, you know what you call, the helmet thing that you put, you know, in their cars and everything. So I had lots of my uncles and relatives and all of that who were in that world. By default, I yielded myself to that and I began to like it. So there was no time when I was growing up that an electrician comes to my house and I'm at home and I'm not watching what they're doing. I was together. And from my very young age, I think I wanted to be an electrician from my primary four, I knew what I wanted to become. Now, I didn't say that was what God called me to become. Because guess what? The only wire I'm connected to is in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
The only wire I'm connected to today is in your heart. Yeah? You know, if this bulb stops working, trust me, someone will be like, I'm not going to carry chair to repair it. Yeah? I'll go downstairs and call the receptionist. Even if bulb spoils, nobody bulbs on my house, I'll repair that one. Yeah? What am I saying? My purpose on earth is going to be linked to the one who has created me in his image. Now, it means as a believer, I am born again in Christ. It means Christ will determine his purpose for my life. Are we together?
Amen.
And his purpose is not far-fetched. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So God has a plan for your life. God has a will for your life. God has a purpose for every believer. And that purpose is hinged around preaching the gospel. Are we together? You see, when believers understand this, it helps them from going through I was saying on Wednesday, there's some prayers you don't need to pray if you understand God's will for your life. You know, and Pastor, wow, there's this brother I'm liking. He's not a believer. But I just love his care for the community. I just love how kind he is. You know, when we go to the restaurant and he sits down, he says, thank you. He says, please excuse me. I just feel like Pastor, there's this call. You know, God has sent us to the world. So, Pastor, what is God's will for my life? And that's why you see people who have three men or three women and they are praying. How many of you used to pray that prayer? The good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. You want to be a player? Be a player with your full chest. How can you be dating three men or three women? And you say you're trying to determine which one is good, which one is acceptable, and which one is perfect. And when we hear what you are saying, the first thing in your mind that the person that must be perfect must have is money. Good job. This one has money, this one has good job. It can grow in career. This one has prospects, but prospect cannot feed me. I mean, we can prospect feed change. My brother cannot feed me too now. This one is. When it comes to spiritual journey, it's not so fervent like that, you know. But we're roughing it. Roughing it. Right? There are clear-cut scriptures. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You don't need to meet your pastor to ask if an unbeliever is God's will for your life. You are in the wrong. You are in the wrong. In fact, you are wrong. Come together. Just like saying, God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. You wake up on Sunday morning and say, Lord, please let me know if you want me to go to church today. The Lord. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. God, please, God, Father, God, please, please talk to me in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go to church. Let something happen. You know how we do. You know, say the crowd is brown. I'll be the cloud is dark. Rain. And in that vision, you know, you just see it. You know, though. Straight, you go inside, you go and turn egg. I just join online. Yeah, you know, we did a series for local around the local church earlier in the year, lasted into 4 months. I was saying a lot of things there, right? It is God's will for you to be in the local church.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you are not in a local church, you are not in God's will. That's the truth. You know, if you just wake up and just say, I'll just tune into, I like the praise and worship of that church. I'll just watch. Then you now praise. So I like the teaching. His teaching motivates me for Monday. I do not realize that a lot of us have problems. We come to the church to learn how to make money and go to the office to learn how to pray. Honestly, I have a problem with when the CEO of a company says that every morning before you start work, everybody should pray. I have a serious problem with it. What's the problem with it? First of all, in the real sense, you have somewhere subconsciously imagined and thought that only Christians are in the organization. But I'm sure you don't assume that. You have somewhere and subconsciously thought that only Christians can do the work you want to be done in the organization. Going to the office is a place you go and do activities to make money. That's why you see Christians come to church. Take it, receive it, I receive it. Yes. You don't get rich by saying, it's not by closing your eyes. You like vibrate. It's not by vibrating. You don't get rich by, and they say, they don't lay hands on you to be wealthy. I remember I heard of my dad used to say a story. You know the man called Bill Gates? Do you know that Bill Gates came to Nigeria and he sat down on his seat and men of God like me, not me, the chair he sat on, they use chain to block it. And men of God and pastors went to go and be paying money for them to go and sit down. The mantle on Bill Gates fall upon my life. The mantle I receive. Oh, by contact, I receive. Are we together? You know, and they will come to us and say, I have the unction of wealth. See, any pastor that has the unction of wealth, let me tell you one fact about it. It is not from God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, be very praise the Lord. Does that make you react more? Yeah? Unction of wealth is not from God. It's not. God doesn't make people rich and make people poor. No. Riches and poverty are in the bosom of the decisions of men. That's why you can pray from now to next year if you don't work. The worst and the best that can happen is miracle. But no miracle has limits. Mama. Your account. And you go to detail and withdraw it. Came from, you just say, oh, I thank the Lord, I receive my faith. Receiving. Yeah? You are a believer. That's serious. I didn't call you a thief. You are a believer that thieves. When you have a sunny money in your account, what do you do? You call your bank. Some of you have sunny money in your account, first, where's the next thing? Go and do everything. So that when the bank wants to university, there is nothing that is left. And point you relocate. You just start your journey in a new country. And you just move on to your life. We're laughing, these things happen. You say, oh, praise the Lord. I want to thank God for the salvation of my soul.
Amen.
Amen. Now to your testimony. It all started on Tuesday morning. And I was just shouting, and God was saying, the Lord will bless someone today. And I just kept saying, it will be me, it will be me, it will be me. Guess what? 11:59 towards 12. My phone rang. I'm like, who is calling me? I just checked my phone. I saw an alert of $1 million. Praise God. You know, ideally, the government should address both the pastor. Person that shares his testimony. Let them go and share because there's one in the prison. After all, the gospel is needed everywhere. Yeah. You know, I was speaking to my mom yesterday and she was telling me that she saw a video of someone that, you know, someone they said that this year we're going to sing a new song. I did not know it was a new anthem. Well, so see, this year you will sing a new song. You will sing a new song. Amen. See, you don't amen prosperity. Prosperity is not what Jesus died for. It is because we don't understand this. That's why people think that their life is a lifestyle or their life is a message. Because I hear people always say, no, I don't need to preach the gospel. Just watch me. Do you know that in 2010 or 2011, someone had given my dad a brand new car. When I mean brand new car, I mean tear rubber. Not rubber, not fourth hand use. They use rubber to wrap. You know, nowadays, they've used car 5 times. They still use leather to wrap it. Right? No, but I'm talking about brand new from factory. That we found out that one of the leaders in church, his message during evangelism is come to our church. You see the God that beautifies life. How do you know? They asked him to come and answer a question during maybe Sunday school or something like that. He started saying, gee, why do you not? Just tell people the beautiful things around you. The message of the gospel is not you bought a house. You don't need to be a Christian to buy a house. In fact, more Christians don't have. You don't have to be a Christian to have a job. The message is not come to Christ, your life will be full of crisis. Do you know it's when you come to Christ that crisis begins? You don't know. You know, there's a lifestyle you will have before you become a believer. And because you're a believer, you will not live that life again. And you will not start facing opposition. Is that not crisis? So, we need to be careful. So, if we don't know what the message of the gospel is, we'll go out. Let me say it differently. The message of the gospel is not... come and see, I used to be an alcoholic before. I used to drink alcohol before. I used to womanize before. But guess what? See what the Lord has done. The message of the gospel is a definite message. So when he says, go into the world and preach the gospel is about a story, not your story. Now, your story can be used to, you know, help in conversations can come in from time to time. But we must always remember that the message of the gospel has its own facts. Are we together? So, every believer is called into ministry. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We saw that on Wednesday. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, today is the second Sunday of the month, so ideally we usually spend longer time in church, right? So, we've had a believers' meeting, we've been instructed by that, but I just want to lay some foundation today on what we need to do, because it's very important that we understand what we are called to do. Right? Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Or look at chapter 4. Let's read chapter 4 through to chapter 5. Yeah, so just follow as we're reading, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Verse 3, but if our gospel, 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. Is that Paul?
Yes.
So Paul is saying, our message is not ourselves. For we preach on ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and we ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded light to shine dead, a sick believer can lay hands on the dead and the dead comes back to life. Altogether, a sick believer can lay hands. Why? Because when we minister healing, we're not ministering our what? what phrase? Our inadequacies. We are ministering what? God's power. I brought a dead man back to life. That should tell you when we administer God's power, we're not administering our inadequacies. We're administering His power. So it says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Hallelujah. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not what? In despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, right? The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always what? Delivered unto death for Christ's sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Look at verse 12. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, is that a mortal body? We have the building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be recruited upon with our house which is from heaven. Right? So you know, that's similar to Romans 8. You know that scripture that will say, likewise, the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmity, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought to, but the Spirit of God maketh what? Intercession for us with groanings that cannot be what? Uttered. Now, I've taught you before, groanings that cannot be uttered is not speaking about praying in tongues. So he says, for in this we groan. You see, that's Romans 8. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall be found naked. For we that are in will be unclothed, but clothed upon our mortality might be swallowed up what? Now, swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us the selfsame thing is God, who had also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are also confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are what? Absent for the Lord. For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So, walk by faith, not by sight in this scripture is not for car, not for house, right? It's about what? The mortal body of man and the immortal body of man. You see where it came in, right? Yeah? So, look at verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present to the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. See, is there a judgment seat? Hello? Is there a judgment seat?
Yes.
By the grace of God, yes. So, yeah? So, there is the, oh, my sins have been judged in Christ. My sins have been judged. There is, Paul will teach about the judgment seat. So, will man receive a reward for their good and their bad? Will man receive a reward for their good and bad? Yes, so. Yes, so. The man here is the unbeliever. He says, for we the terror of the Lord, we what? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we what? We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you an answer. It is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause, for the Lord, for the love of Christ. So let's read verse 14 together all the way. 1, 2, 3, go. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. And was given. So it means that the moment you are born again, your life is no longer your own. Now I taught you on Wednesday, there's a difference between giving your life to God and receiving the life of God. You know how a lot of times in church, when we want to say, how many of you want to be born again today? You lift your hand to come out. Say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I give my life to you. Yeah, okay, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come out. A man who is not a believer doesn't have a life to give. He's lifeless. Ephesians 2. And ye are people who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we're dead. Romans 6 now tells us we've been quickened together with him in Christ. Are we together? So it means that by default, an unbeliever cannot give their life to Jesus. So who are those that can give their life to Jesus? That's what Paul is saying. He says, now that Christ has died for us, we are now alive in him. We now live our life for him. So when you wake up in the morning, let me tell you something. If you wake up on Monday, wake up on Tuesday, wake up on Wednesday, and every day of the week, all you are thinking about when you wake up and when you sleep is about your assignment at work, your office work, your project at school. What are you doing? You are living your life for yourself. Do you know that there are souls that are beside you, that have walked by? And let me give you a quick example. There's a man called, it's a very quick story, but there's something instructive about it. There's a man called, I don't know if you know the name, called Fela. You've heard the name Fela, right? Yeah, some of you listen to him? Okay, we know him, right? There's a man called Fela, right? Come on, like he's instrumental in his head. His name is, he's a pastor today, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. His name is some examples of how his life was wayward. Okay, he said there's nothing in this life he has not drank, he has not smoked. He has used human being blood to have his bath. He has eaten the tongue of human before. That extreme, done the most ridiculous things. Guess what happened? Guess how he came born again? One day, he just found himself tired of life, and he asked himself a question. I've tried everything in this life except this Jesus. I think I want to try this Jesus. If I continue to look at Acts 7, let me tell you why it's important to not keep your mouth shut. Look at Acts 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts, right? Look at Acts 7. Look at a man that is bold. I don't know if you know Saul. You know Saul? The one whose name was changed to what? Let me say that clearly. Paul's name was not changed from Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Paul's name is Saul in the Greek. And the Hebrew. Are we together? Yeah. Right from where I come from, right? That there's joy. It teaches that, oh, somebody whose name was Iron met God, and God changed his name or name. When God called him in that vision was Saul. Saul, why persecuted me? Why persecuted he me? Right? When God reached out to Ananias to go and lay hands on Paul, he says, go and call my servant Saul. When Ananias got there, he said, brother Saul. Right? So you know the man Saul. You know his life before. You know that Paul had a terrible life before. Paul was given the authority to give consent to the killing of believers. That is, people that he hears preaching the gospel, he had the rights to kill them or to supervise the killing of those men. And such a one is Paul, is the man called Stephen. Now look at Stephen, Acts 7. Look at Stephen. So Stephen had a long teaching in Acts 7. But for our time, let's look at verse 45. Look at verse 44. Our fathers had tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and as he appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Which also, verse 45, our fathers that came after brought in what with Jesus into possession of Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find tabernacle of God of what? Jacob. Look at verse 47. But Solomon built him a house. How be it the most high, what house will you build me? Now, you know, if you look through your scriptures, how many of you remember Tower of Babel? You know Tower of Babel? What this Tower of Babel is? The house that reach heaven. Skyscraper. Abu Dhabi. Right? Now, I've told you before, when you speak about heaven in scriptures, it's not talking about what? The sky. Now, I've shown you as well in scriptures, they did not come together to say, let's build a tower called Tower of Babel. No. Amen? It was in the dissolving of that that it became Tower of what? Babel. Yeah. to build a building. So, she says, throw the block. She carry block. She come to first floor. We build first floor. They will now carry another block and cement to build the second. God just looked down and just said, they're almost here. They're almost here. God scattered them. Oh no, God did not say God scattered them. Angel, God scattered them. No. They were not planning to build a house that will get to the sky. That's wrong Bible teaching. Amen. They were not trying, don't think of, you know that yellow, how many of you read that yellow book? You know that yellow book where you see Eve in the garden, then snake around it, then you now see one apple red. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Just the same way, we don't have a tree. We don't have a snake that was talking. We don't have an apple. The same, we're not trying to build a temple that will get to the sky. I've talked towards heaven. Heaven, earth. Heaven and earth is what? Seen and unseen. So the heart of man and the supernatural world. All together. So God created heavens and earth. Your mind should not go to the sky. So in order to build a temple that will be as tall to reach the heavens, who's tall to get to the heavens? What were they trying to do? They were trying to build a surface that will accommodate the heavens or the supernatural. Did you get me?
Amen.
Why am I saying that? When the scripture says, heaven is my throne, don't think of God in the sky sitting on one throne like this. He's now with what? Somebody's not finding you. It's when you grew up. Yeah? Somebody's not finding God, you know? And God is saying, they are trusting on the earth. He now says, my spirit is burning. I want to destroy the earth. Then Jesus will now be begging, remember my blood, Lord. Remember I've died for them. Just give them more time. You know, then I say, Angel Michael, blow the trumpet. You know, some of us believe that there's one angel, only one trumpet like this, and it's just to do. So it's permanently like this. When he just says, brother, say, yes, sir. Boom, 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 boom. So that's a trumpet. So you think that the trumpet that was made on the air, they now took one to the heavens, and one angel is holding it. Now, yeah, when you think of trumpet, think of book of life. Those are figurative conversations and scriptures, right? So you must be able to understand. And why am I teaching you these things? Because this is what? How to engage the streets. These are questions that will come to you and reach out to you, and who will ask you questions all together, right? So when it says heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, right? And the earth is my footstool, speak about where my activity is seen all together. So the heaven will be the supernatural world. And the earth will be where his activity is seen. Okay? He says, what house will you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things, this stiff neck, as was tied in the heart? And here, let me ask you a question. Who is talking? Who is talking? Dear saints, who is talking, though? Eh? Stephen is talking. Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in the heart. Who is talking? Stephen. So who is talking in Acts 7? Stephen? Quoting what? Scriptures. Is that true? Yeah? So when he says, which of the prophets had not your father persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of just one, and whom he have been now and betrayed and murderers. Who have received the law of the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were caught in their heart, and they gnashed their teeth with their their teeth. Now look at verse 7, verse 55 rather. But he, who is he? Stephen, you will see that. Being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of what? God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. That means you can run upon someone with one accord in hatred and be in one accord in love. We saw one accord earlier on, right? Acts 1, Acts 2, one accord, day of Pentecost. So what are they doing to Stephen? In case you missed it, look at it now, right? So, and he said, look at verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and did what? So, did they stone Stephen? How many of you they stoned here? Okay. So how many of you have they stoned here? And I don't mean your brother when you were growing up stoned you through pillow. I mean they've stoned you because you went to preach the gospel somewhere and they stoned you out of rejection. Nobody. Do you know that the fact that the gospel is on our lips does not mean that everybody we speak to must accept? You know why? Because God has given man the ability to make a choice. Altogether. Remember Jesus? Jesus was going with his disciples to Samaria. What happened? And the Bible says they rejected him. What did the disciples want to do when they heard that? How can he reject our master? He says, Master, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like what? Elijah did. How many of you know that song? God of Elijah. God of Elijah. Oh, God of Elijah. Ah, God of Elijah. You know, every man troubling me, let the fire of the Holy Ghost. See, in the light, say, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. The effect does not change what can happen and what will not happen. Every man disturbing me. And some of you, when you are praying that kind of prayer, take care of your boss at work. Imagine you were a boss at work and another believer is praying in another church that you should catch fire. And you hear them praying that kind of prayer. What will you do? You give them, take them where they belong. But you should walk in love. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So they said, God, Jesus, should we call down fire? Elijah has done it. You are more powerful than Elijah. If you just say fa, before you say fa, there'll be Jesus. The Bible says Jesus turned back and rebuked them and saying, no, you know what spirit ye are of? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy man's life, but to what? Supply new life. Look at Stephen being stoned. What were they rejecting when Jesus and the disciples were going to Samaria? The message of the gospel. What were they rejecting that Stephen was preaching? The message of the gospel. So it means you can be stoned because of the message of the gospel. Let me tell you something, dear saints. What you don't see in the Bible is as the big stone to stone Stephen, pick his own. Amen.
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 Yeah. Yeah. As you want to stone, you to pick your stone. You say it's self-defense. That's not what you see in the scripture. You know, do you know, and people do that. Right, but you must understand that in the real sense, when we see these things happen in scriptures, we need to learn from it. There was a man who was in church with knife, a disciple. Who is that?
Peter,
who stood up on the day of Pentecost to explain what was happening. He had sword. You know that kind of mindset when you go to church. But I don't preach the gospel by saying, and you can use scripture to back it up. The violent take it by force.
Yeah,
I remember I saw a video of a comedian who was just saying, you want to go and preach gospel to your brother? And he said, I don't have time. So you don't have time? You brought out gone. You just showed him the gun. Yeah, you don't have time. You believe Jesus or not? If they put it like that, we will not believe Jesus. You think it's Allah? We will not believe Allah? He said, if you touch my shoulder, it's cold. I don't have time for stress. The pastor asked me to go for evangelism, and I want it to be done quickly. All right? Peter went to the temple. Imagine Peter, one of the trusted of Jesus. Jesus was going to go for crucifixion, and after the resurrection, he will give an instruction to Peter to feed the church. You know what it means? It means that Jesus made Peter the general overseer. He says, "Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my lamb." The devil has desired to have you, but I've prayed for you. He says, "When you are strengthened," that means. When a believer falls, it's not the end of the world. Because, you know, I feel like sounding motivational. You know, God can create a message from the mess. Please take that picture. Let me put poster. I'm taking the picture, right? Just put poster beside me. God can make a message from the... You see, God can pick you from the pits. To give you a pulpit. So that I can bring more people from the...
Peace.
That's right. And that's what makes your heart stirred up. Do you understand? Well, imagine a man in the pit called Peter. Pit called Peter. That's the one who's praying for me. For me, holy water. Holy water. They wanted to arrest Jesus. You remember before then, you see Jesus saying, I will be killed. Bible says Peter took Jesus away and rebuked him. Fly away from him. You shall not die but live to declare the glories of the Lord. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. What's the word Satan? He said the word there, Satan, is opposition. He wasn't saying there was a demonic activity. No. Nobody wants their beloved ones to die.
Yeah.
Peter. I'm sure it was after Jesus said, I must die. Peter started carrying knife. They came to arrest Jesus. before Jesus just closed his eyes saying the name of Jesus, Peter just slashed the ear. The ear was bobbing on the floor. Do you know how rough that situation would have been? But guess what? The Prince of Peace was there. He was able to be calm enough to pick that ear from the ground. And he glued it back. And he mended it back. Peter grew. That's how we tell you, eh? Yeah, if your life comes in contact or somebody who is still growing, the person will grow. If they cut your leg, that's how sometimes, see, now, sometimes they will stone you. You will run. You might break your leg. You know, there's some deliverances in scriptures that people were praying, and the way they were delivered was God said run. Running is not lack of faith, too. Let me tell you, I remember one day I went to go and preach in the midst of one Muslim corner like this. Thank God on my life. Yeah. When they boldly, I spoke to the first brother. It wasn't a brother. I heard about Jesus. The way he looked at me, he said, when they look at you and fear envelopes your heart. The way he looked at me, but I said, I'm bold. You know what I said? You were talking. You know, there's some messages you preach from afar, stay. You know, God loves you, God loves you. When they're watching, God loves you. Be grace. When they're like this. Before you know it, he came here, his brother came around, they were just sending one balance like this. And so I think somebody has gone there before to preach to them and they have given themselves sign. When I do like this, just bring knife and come to that. You know, I didn't wait to see the knife. You know, but I went in the authority of the Lord. And I went there and I preached the gospel. I said, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He said, who is Jesus? He said, I know, and he was battling with English. Just said his own blood. I said, I just wanted to drop it. Peace be on you. And he went away. There are days like that, like Stephen. But guess what? Let me tell you my point today. Stephen was being stoned. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was what? Saul. And they stoned who? Stephen. What was Stephen doing? Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus. So, when Stephen was being stoned, he didn't say, let the host of heaven, let the heavenly supernatural beings. Bible says Stephen kept preaching the gospel. Are you with me? He now says, and he kneeled down, that's Stephen, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, lay not this sin to their what? Charge. And when he has said this, what happened? Bible says what? He fell asleep. Look at chapter 8. Let's read chapter 8 verse 1 together. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Acts 8 1 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Saul was consenting unto the death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So let me ask you a question. And devout men carried Stephen, that Stephen who was dead, to his what? Verse 2. They carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. But guess what? Did Paul become a born again?
Yes.
You know, Paul is responsible for more than almost 60 or more than 70% of your New Testament epistles. But yet he was there, consenting to the death of Stephen. That's how merciful God is. God still wants his heart to be preserved. Who is far from the reach of God's hand, his mercy, to preach him. Back to the story I was telling you. After over a decade of living all kinds of life, trying all over the world, he went for a concert in the US, and that's a pastor who's KJM music now. And after, when he was when he was performing, which had not happened, he took them to his room. And they followed him to the room. And in following him, I'm not saying that's what you're going to be doing. I'm following him to the room. I'm saying that preaching the gospel. That's what I say you should be doing. You know, that's not the lesson I'm communicating here. The lesson is just preach the gospel. And they followed him to his room. And they were there in his room. We don't know the end of the story. But in all of that, they preached to him. Years down the line, They asked him a question. How did he now receive Jesus into his life? He said those words that were spoken to him remain in his heart. Romans 10 will say, how will they be saved if they don't hear the gospel? How will they hear if they are not? They decided I wasn't going to do that kind of lifestyle again. He's 30 years in ministry last year. And last May, 30 years of not tasting alcohol, 30 years of not womanizing, 30 years of preaching the gospel. Just by the words that were said by two people. He said the first year he got born again, he fasted for 230 something days in a year. I don't mean fast 11 a.m. Some of you, you fast, you wake up. When you wake up is when you break your fast. He was fasting to 6 p.m. for 200 something days. He still fast 6 to 60 today. Preaching the gospel. Going back to the land of darkness to bring more men. Let me tell you something. Until your evangelism creates an evangelist out of the evangelized, you still have a long journey to go. I'll say it one more time. Until your evangelism creates an evangelist out of the evangelized, you still have a long way to go. So it's God's will that the man who is evangelized to becomes an evangelist like you. Look at Paul. Who would have thought that today, you know, we rarely have services today without mentioning the name Paul. But Paul was supervising the death of Stephen. That means some believers will lose their life because of the sake of the gospel. But God's will is still being done. God's plan is still being done. That the earth is full of filled with the knowledge of his glory. And how is he doing it? Through you and I. That's why you get yourself committed to a local church where you are being taught how to teach. Altogether, my teaching you today is not the end of the journey. It's to train you so you will teach another. Yeah? It is to train you so you will teach another. It is to train you so you will teach another. So we keep preaching and keep preaching and keep preaching to ensure that God's word is prevailing in the hearts of men. Engage in the streets. So what's your responsibility? What is God counting on you on? It says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. Is that to you alone? Is it to me alone?
No.
To every believer. Now, let's close in 2 Corinthians where we are. Remember, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Or we've got to chapter 5. That our lives are no longer ours, but unto him that died for and rose for us. Wherefore, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Look at verse 17. Let's read 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And had given unto us a what? Ministry of reconciliation. So how many people have a ministry? Every believer. Are we together? Now, what is ministry? See what it says next. It says, to ministry of reconciliation, to wit, verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the what? The message of reconciliation. Now then, we as Christ ambassadors, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that be you what? Reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul was teaching when he says that he who was rich became poor, that we might be rich. Hallelujah. Yeah, he who was rich, that became poor, so that we might be rich. The riches we have is the riches of his righteousness, his justification, his sanctification, his holiness. The riches that we have because of his poverty is not material riches. Like I said, you don't get rich because Jesus died. What he did. Are we together? You saw the work he did. Are we together? Right? For Jesus to feed 5,000 people miraculously, it means that by default, he didn't have money in his pocket to sponsor everything. So the riches of God to make that became poor, that might be rich, is so that what he who knew no sin was made sin, that might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll close here. You must ensure that you remind yourself every day that you have a ministry. Please note this down when you write in your book. You must ensure that you remind yourself every day that you have a ministry. You must ensure that you remind yourself every day that you have a ministry. There is not one single believer that lacks a ministry. Now, ministry is not serving water for pastor. Ministry is not standing in the choir, you know, to sing. That's all service in local church, and they are very important. But ministry, much more than anything, is what? Preaching the message of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation. The story of redemption. The story of his love. The message of his gospel. So today, I'll say to you today, make up your mind to be intentional about preaching the gospel. Make up your mind to be intentional about preaching the gospel. Be deliberate enough, right, to preach the gospel. See, you should have days of the week when you go out for evangelism other than your daily evangelism. Yes, it's easy to say, oh, as I'm going to walk today, I'm going to preach to somebody on the train. Dear saints, every day you leave your house and step out, you are exposed to meeting one person who, if his last breath was when he or she was with you, they are going to be condemned. Every day you walk on the streets, you're meeting one person who, if the last breath they have in their life is the moment they met with you, they are condemned by default. So what do? Give them that chance to hear the gospel. Give them that chance to hear the gospel. You know, in an environment like this, I'm going to get to the practicality of these things. I tell you for free, a lot of times, I still went out for evangelism for about an hour on Thursday, right? A lot of times when I go for evangelism, you can end up stopping 20 people to speak to them, but maybe 10 or 5 will stop to listen to you. But make sure, in fact, there was one, I remember, one of them, he was rushing to go pick something. And I stopped him and a lady he was with, and I was trying to preach the gospel to him. And he was walking fast. He doesn't know I walk faster. He doesn't know he has met his match. I was walking, me too. I was walking, I was bouncing, I was following him, I was walking, I was bouncing, I was preaching the gospel to him. Jesus loves you, I was preaching the gospel to him. I was smiling, he was like, don't be smiling, no, what's your heart? You understand? But even at that, what happens? We ensure that we keep God's word on our lips. Don't keep your mouth shut. Question I asked earlier on, how many people have preached to you? Is to show you that the work that needs to be done is not as much being done. Let me tell you for free, in the last 2 years, I've never, maybe once, in this UK, only one person has ever stopped me to preach the gospel to me. There's no pastor on my forehead. Is everything? I don't smell like a pastor. In fact, I remember preaching to someone last month, May. You know, so after I had finished preaching and all of those things, you know, God upon again, like she's from. What do you call this? Either Poland or Sweden, one of those countries there. God upon again, she came in from maybe one place in between Glasgow and Livingston there, you know, and she was explaining how she came in. She got born again, you know, preached to her, discipled her, and not discipled her, preached to her, spent time with her, like about 20, 30 minutes with her, you know, and all of that. So when I finished preaching to her, I gave her a tract. Read this while you're going back on the train. Got a number. She called me. I've been in touch with her. You know, and when she now saw the number on the back of the tract, she said, oh, I think she now looked at the number. I think her photographic mind just saw that the number was the same number I used to call her. She was like, is this your number? I was like, oh, yeah, that's my number. She said, oh, so you're a pastor. So why you don't even look at a pastor? See, that's the good way to go about it. Maybe because I have beards, maybe because I have skin cuts. I don't know how pastors used to look. What I'm saying to you is that people don't really stop you because they feel like Christian. Let me say it to you as well. Don't say you will not stop people because they look like Christian. In fact, don't say you will not preach to people because they have a name called Stephen. There is Jesus that needs salvation. Amen. There's somebody whose name is Jesus and his surname is Yehoshua. Right? And he needs salvation. Don't just go to the truth and say, oh, what's your name? Thomas. Remember doubting Thomas, you are saved. No! Don't say, oh, your name is Paul. No! Everyone deserves to hear the message of the gospel. See, God is looking around the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. The Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. Now, how does the Spirit of God move? When you move. When I move. I go with the message of God on my lips, the message of love, and I share it. See, God is going with his hand like a cat with a message. Any heart that just has a sense of belief, he snatches it forever. Snatches it forever. There are more saved people than you can imagine. Because resurrection. You just want to give and let it be that you present an opportunity to another person that he believes or does not believe. Let it be his choice. But what happens? This is, I say to you this week, Open your mouth. As you're going home today, don't just enter the train. You go to the train, you see somebody that's sitting beside you. You say, you got for the arrest. Who told you they will arrest you? Who told, even if they arrest you, what happened? You preach more in the gospel. You see, a lot of the letters. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying you should go and pass your boundaries. Are we together? Give it a try. Reach out to one, reach out to two. Speak. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. I'm going to get to the details of the facts of the gospel we need to keep on our lips. And also how to start up a conversation. Some of us, we need to learn how to start up conversations. They send us in our church to be sharing good news. They send us in our church to be sharing the good news. I just couldn't tell you, so they must say I don't tell you. So that one person has seven good news speech, you say five. And what we're telling them is they sent us to go and five people. No, there are ways to start up conversations. Like I always tell you, I'm gonna end with this. Learn to know how to change conversations the God way. I'll teach you in this series. Learn to know how to change conversations. Let me tell you, I don't have time for ridiculous conversations. I don't meet people for the first time and be talking about politics. I don't have that energy. I don't watch news. So I'm not up to date. So there's nothing I haven't tell you. But I'm up to date in the world. I remember speaking with a couple of friends a couple of years ago, and we're just in the room, right? Conversation to the gospel. I will try it. You know how anyone will light fire. I will ignite it. The fire will be burning like this. I'm afraid they'll just change the topic. I say, no, it cannot happen again. I kept there. I was there for probably 2-3 hours. I was trying to look for how to change the conversation. Guess what? The lady made a mistake. What was the mistake? She told me she was struggling. She told us, we're like five in that room. One lady, three guys. Two ladies. Here where? It was two ladies. Three guys, friends talking. I just said the facts now. And what happened? One of the ladies just said, I'm traveling to Glasgow to go and do my, it was in Edinburgh here, 2019. Traveling to Glasgow and he tattooed on my back. I was like, what does she want to have? That was the mistake she made. She said, I was going to write Psalm 46, verse 5. For God is within her, she shall not be moved. So that's the mistake you've made. And I picked it from there. Guess what? I was there for 3 hours preaching the gospel.
Wow.
3 hours. Yeah? So I waited for them. So they could not shut me up again because I've listened to them enough talking their nonsense. And sometimes you'll be patient. Just listen. But when you're listening, be smart enough to know where to switch it. Let someone just make a mistake and just say, oh, Jesus. Even if it's, oh, Jesus, I don't know why this happened to me. You can go there. What's happened to you? And that way you can go is the word of knowledge. All together. Sometimes I'd be in conversations, right? I was saying, there's somebody you have a scratch on your back. You looked at it this morning and you were very scared. You just change conversations on people and pick it up. But people need to hear. The gospel is the miracle of the resurrection, and man needs to hear that. Hallelujah!
Amen.
So you make up your mind today, right? Is that you?
Yes, sir.
Is that you? You know, you start today. If you don't start today, you might not start tomorrow. So start today. Someone be like, I tell you for free. If you don't start today, so when you're going on the bus, when you're standing at the train station, check when the bus is coming. 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes. That's why I always tell you, you should be able to preach the gospel in 10 seconds, in 1 minute, in 1 day. If you give me this mic, you know, it looks like I don't want to be there. If you give me this mic, I'll be here till tomorrow morning, this same time, talking to you. But if you also give me 30 seconds, I'll preach the gospel to you in 30 seconds. So go to the boss. Start from, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. It could be from, I want to tell you that, that your sins have been forgiven in Christ Jesus because he has died. It could be like, from there, then you start growing. Let me tell you, in doing that, you are doing the will of the Father. Look at someone around you.